Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of the light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful is in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to you, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord. God, you may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward.
May this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Are there any children?
And be long, they are weak, but he is strong. Tells me so.
Good morning. Good morning. I guess the other kids saw the baseball bat and are afraid to come up. So today is, we're talking about a fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness. That's kind of a big word, isn't it? Faithfulness. So I was thinking about what does it mean to be faithful? Okay, and I thought about things that we might need to practice. I went to a baseball game this week, and I think they probably did a lot of practicing, right? I would have to practice very much to be able to actually hit a ball. What other kinds of things do we have to practice? Maybe you practice, okay, these are real littles. So you probably aren't practicing running yet, but maybe you practice walking. Yeah? You have to practice some walking and some crawling and practice eating food. Yeah? And I brought my tennis shoes because I have to practice running, practicing and fit. And I brought a ball. Do you practice catching a ball? Here we go. Yeah? Can practice the ball. Or maybe there's some other things that aren't just sports, like practicing gardening. That's that's just not easy. It's not something simple that we just do. Or maybe knitting. This was made by some fifth graders for me, and they were practicing knitting with their fingers. Yeah. You want to turn with the ball? All right. Well, some other ways that we practice our faith or have faithfulness. So I brought a chalice, too, as something we practice. Because a chalice is what we have up here for communion. And it's a symbol of a cup being full of God's grace. So that's the other part of faithfulness. It's not just things we do to show people God's grace, but the promise that God is always faithful to us. So that's another way that we practice when we come to worship, and we pray, and we do things like bring food for the food bank. Those are all ways that we can think about faithfulness. So let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your faithfulness. Be with us as we practice our faithfulness to your love. Amen. All right, thank you. I'll move that in a minute. Thank you. You can take that one with you. Yeah, thanks. You can go practice with Leslie. Well, I have never been a super athletic person, at least not in the traditional sense of the word. My body doesn't quite move that fast or bend very far, and the hand-eye coordination is not there. Can't really hit a ball. My one experience in a team sport was basketball in the sixth grade, and because in the sixth grade, I was the tallest girl in my class. Yeah. I stopped growing in the sixth grade. And so I really wanted to be on the basketball team, and I wanted to do well, and I put my heart into it, and I was really bad. My parents are here. You can ask them after worship how bad I was. And then at age 30, I decided to, with a friend, I'd never really run, but I trained for and ran a marathon. And at the end of the marathon, I knew I would never run that far again, ever. But through those experiences, what I do remember is in training and not giving up and learning new things about myself through the connection of body, mind, and spirit, those things have stuck with me. That when we keep going and keep taking a step forward, that change and new things can happen, even if it feels really incremental and slow. So a couple of years ago, I started doing yoga more regularly, and my favorite word in yoga is the word practice. When an instructor reminds us that we are practicing these moves, we don't have to have them just right. Or when she says you can stretch your knees towards straight, even if you can't get them all the way straight. Or just being given permission to rest in child's pose and catch your breath before you start something again. These are all a gift, a reminder of letting go of perfection, of releasing my hang-ups on what my body can do or lack of what it can do, and just resting in the grace of letting that moment be what it is for the moment. Not caught up in the past, not worried about the future. And this time of leaning in and practicing is a good example and model and way to think about the essential ways that we walk through life, how we live together, how we engage faithfulness and the practices of faithfulness, and how we rest in the grace of the gifts that God has given us. So our parable today is one that reminds me of this ideal of practice. Because honestly, this parable is so full of twists and turns and questions and inconsistencies that sometimes it actually just makes me angry that it's even in there. I often glance over it or ignore it or just pray somebody else has to preach it. But no luck this time. So as I was contemplating how this parable demonstrates the fruit of faithfulness, I really did just have to sit with it. I had to go and read some other theologians, hoping the experts had some solid answers. They didn't really. It seems like it's practice for all of us. And I had to just let the words of Jesus come into my mind and heart and hold it like that yoga instructor was telling me to just keep breathing through a difficult pose. And I eventually came to where I had to let go of the questions, except that there's some mystery that lies here in the scripture with a manager who is dishonest and yet praised, of one who is haphazard and selfish, yet still redeemed, and one who is manipulative, yet still called to be faithful. And then I realized that maybe this is the point of faithfulness, that God gives us stories, parables, characters, and verses and scriptures to hold and sit with that tell us who God is and who we are in God's eyes. God's word comes through Jesus and his words to give us a new angle, a different pose, a gift of seeing him in all things, in every part of our life, even the ones that look like they really don't belong. This is faithfulness. And faithfulness as a gift and faithfulness as a call to action. The gift is that God is faithful. Always, always parables first point to God. And God here, the rich man who has been wronged, who sees the dishonesty, the manipulation, the self-serving acts of the manager for what they are, still responds with praise and grace. The rich man sees the opportunity to respond in a way that could still make good out of what has become mixed up and misused and messed up. And God will enter even into the chaos of dishonesty and darkness and bring forth forgiveness and light because God is faithful to God's people. God is faithful in mercy and grace and in love, giving us these gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, no matter if we are the self-serving, dishonest manager at times. Now, faithfulness is also a call to action for us, how we are to live with one another and how we are to engage in the world around us. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Houston with many of our high school youth for the National Youth Gathering. 31,000 ELCA Lutherans in one stadium is quite the experience and the thing to see. And what was most impactful for me was more what they would share each night about what had impacted them about the day or about our week together. One was a connection, a true connection to the speakers. We had 4 or 5 a night, a couple of hours of hearing people tell their stories intermixed with music. And the people who spoke were a very diverse range of people. They're diverse in age, in race, in culture, in experiences, and in what they had to share. Everyone from famous preacher theologians like Pastor Nadia Boltzweber, who had us renounce the evils of this world, to bishops declaring that all people should be treated humanely regardless of where they are from, to young entrepreneurs who are looking for ways to get food distributed from restaurants and grocery stores when they have leftovers. Youth and young adults sharing stories of mental and grave physical illness. And even an 11-year-old transgender girl who spoke eloquently and clearly that she knew of God's hope and God being with us all. They told stories from their lives that were bold and brave, and testimonies of God's faithfulness step by step, breath by breath. Experiences of seeing God present and being surrounded by those whom God sent to practice faithfulness with and for them. These stories told of God's faithfulness and of the response of how they were continuing to walk in faithfulness, and continuing to walk in the baptismal promise that we renounce evil and we embrace, working for justice and peace in the world that God made. Whether that world is in our own bodies, or sitting next to us, or over in the next town, or state, or across the globe, we are called to this kind of practice of faithful living. And it's in this practice that God's grace and hope make change. We are given many opportunities to practice each and every day. Some are deep and close to us, like walking with someone with addiction or mental illness or a physical illness or not unemployment or struggling with discernment. Some are looking around our community and seeing how we speak God's grace by filling up a truck with food or helping those who can't find a home figure out how to live in our city or state. And some seem far out of reach, like immigration and relations with other world leaders and wars and hunger crises across the globe. And some will make us angry, and some will hurt deeply, and some will bring joy, and all will help us see God in a new way and help us even change ourselves. And it can sound and be overwhelming and mystifying that we are called to them all, and yet in this practice we are not alone, and we are called together. It is this practice together that was the other deep connection for our youth. They saw that when we practice our faith, even if it's incremental and slow, that change happens. The phrase that they said a lot was, "I was in Houston with 31,000 of my new best friends." That was kind of said throughout, not just our kids, but throughout the gathering. And I think this was a testament to they were surprised and full of joy to know they were not the only Lutherans in the whole world. That there's this sense of connection there, right? That they told stories of feeling alone on their team or in their classroom or in a music group, but now knowing that there was a broader group of people that believed in the grace of God, that walked in this call of mercy and hope and belief that things can change and that God is with us in this world. This sense of connection was a renewal of faithfulness and energy and of knowing that we are not alone. And it was a renewal of hope that God's call of faithfulness and God's gift of faithfulness continues to walk with us, with our friends, our families, our enemies, our neighbors, and our communities. And this image that we are all practicing together, finding our voice when we need to find our voice, using the resources that we have, telling our stories, coming to worship, praying together, connecting face to face, are all ways that we practice faithfulness. Faithfulness is a gift, and it is not something that we will ever perfectly attain. But instead, together, we keep practicing, daily, weekly, year by year, breath by breath, step by step, together held in the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.